Gaurav was asking the question whether Sadhusana comes first or knowledge about the Guru comes first. Just like when you go to a gold shop, you don't buy without testing the gold. Do you? You buy the gold without testing? So you have to check whether the gold is 24 karat gold before you buy it. So there is a method for that. You all know that, isn't it? There is a method of upgrading and finding out whether it is proper gold. So finding out whether a person is bona fide or not is 100% justified. There is nothing wrong in that. In fact, even within ISKCON, you are not asked to blindly follow anybody. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita purports, he condemns blind following. He says two things, blind following and absurd inquiries, both are condemned. Because in India, you see, there are so many people blindly following so many so-called gurus. Like some guru comes and gives, you know, he makes gold from his hand and gives, and makes some ash and he gives. Or some guru gives diksha to 10,000 people at a time, without even seeing their qualification. You can do anything you want, you don't have to follow any rules and regulations. And people follow such gurus, and you have to go in a queue and have them identity card. One side you have your picture, other side you have Guru's picture. You can put, and you can say, I am also a Shishya of so and so. And you can keep his photograph in your house. So it's of not much use having such a Guru. This is called a blind following. On the other hand, having approached the right Guru, one should not foolishly make absurd inquiries. So one is allowed to test the Guru. You can say, these are the qualifications of a guru required. The Shastra says that, Shabdeya Pareja Nishnatam, we should be an expert in the scriptures. We should know the conclusion of the scriptures. We should not be behind wealth, women, and a great number of followers. And he should be following the parampara properly. So many qualifications are listed. So as soon as you detect a person, as soon as you identify that this person is fit, he is fitting in the category listed according to the qualifications of the Guru. So one can start observing him more closely and one can start following him submissively. So then the submissiveness comes and you can inquire submissively and the answers will come. What is the difference between submissive inquiry and argumentative inquiry? The difference is when you have an argumentative mentality, then you ask the question not for your benefit, not for the benefit of the soul. You just want to make a show off. You ask the question and look around, how many people are appreciating my question? And your ears are unable to hear the answer because you are too much infatuated with pride. That is actually a question asked with argumentative mentality. Or sometimes I have seen in our colleges, you know, sometimes the student will say, sir, how to solve this particular problem? Then the sir will say, oh, this is a formula, standard formula. So apply this differential equation formula, then you will get the answer. Sir, can you kindly work it out for me? See, and then the sir will try in the board. And you will see that he is getting into a factor which is unsolvable. And you wonder, oh, it's not coming in the normal formula. Yes, sir, that is why I asked you how to solve it. And then sir will say, oh, I have to go back and see how it is. Sir, if you permit me, I can come and do on the board. You want to show the class that you know everything. And you want to prove the class that you are even greater than your professor. So you see something somewhere, and I have seen people asking questions. They will come to a normal class like this. Prabhuji, can you explain me about the Hladini Shakti, what Radharani experienced in her relationship with Krishna? Can you tell me from Gopal Champu what is the answer for this? So people will ask such questions. A remote scripture which is not normally read by everyone. It is not necessary for us to know. All you need to know is how to control your senses, which you are unable to do now. You are struggling to control your senses, and this person wants to know the Hladini Shakti. So, when you make a question, it should be genuine, springing from the heart. I have seen people asking genuine questions. Maharaj, you said when we deal with devotees, we have to be very humble. How to go about it? So, it's a very genuine question, because it's very difficult to be humble amongst everyone. So, the question should spring from the heart. That's a natural question. And absurd inquiries are purposefully made up questions for the sake of either defeating the guru or made up for the sake of increasing one's own pride to show off people how great one is. So these are absurd, and there is no quality of submissiveness in that. So submissiveness is very much required. Generally, when do we lose submissiveness? When we become too much learned, when we read so many books, we may start thinking that I am better than the guru. Our guru doesn't know as much as I know. So when we lose submissiveness. Generally, when one is Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shilga, Yedamana, Madhapuman, into the analysis. When you are born in a high family, Aishwarya, when you are all these things, then my Aishwarya, Shruta, Shilga, when you are done at, similarly, when one is beautiful, all these things brings forth pride. Unnecessary pride, meaningless pride. So, in the beginning, when one is testing the guru, one should see, for example, some guru says, I am God. Right away you can reject him. Immediately, there is no second question. So, then once that we go ahead and a person is conveying the facts in the Shastras that we are all servants of God, I am also servant of God. Then you can go a little more closer and hear what he says. If he says, now I am not God, but I will become God later, immediately you can kick him out. So this is the way we test the guru. You go one step and then you hear, you can come to understand who your guru is. So guru is a faithful servant of God, who simply conveys what the Shastra says, and he is himself following it, and he is sincerely interested in taking people back home, back to Godhead. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, his English was so poor. It was all accented with Bengali. Nobody could ever understand. But they had one faith in him, that this old man, he has come to do some good for us. He has no bad intention. He has not come to cheat us. He has not come to exploit us. Because America is a place of exploitation. But they knew one thing. This person has come to do something good for us. He is sincerely interested in giving something. So when such a guru speaks, things actually emanate from his heart. It is something like a person is feeling the great urgency to give you something. Please accept it. And you cannot say no. You have to show your hands. And he says, what do you want to give me? Give me. So people also hear with great receptiveness. So, this is the urgency that a compassionate Vaishnava feels in his heart, that he wants to immediately hand over Krishna consciousness and save the souls which are suffering in blazing forest fire of material existence. So, Guru presents like that. So, one will naturally become submissive. If one doesn't become submissive, then one cannot acquire more knowledge. So, initially a person can test the Guru, but once having found out the suitable Guru, then a great amount of submissiveness is required. Not to learn knowledge. If one is too much proud of his old knowledge that he possesses, then one is unable to hear what the guru speaks. There is a big amount of inhibition. Everything springs back. If you throw a ball on the wall, it comes back. So guru speaks, but he doesn't enter. It goes like this and comes out. It doesn't go inside because of lack of submissiveness. As you can see, many people, sometimes people come to the classes. Before you speak one sentence, they ask 10 questions. How can I understand? No possibility. So, your disciple should have an open mind and should first of all hear the nectar. Let it go inside and do some work. And then you have questions. Then you can ask questions. So, submissiveness means agreeing to hear what the Guru speaks. So, there are many examples in Shastras where disciples exhibited submissiveness and they achieved very great success. But those who don't have submissiveness, they suffer. They may stay for some time and they will wither away afterwards. Somebody is asking about Srila Prabhupada books. When the Prabhupada books are there, why do we need a guru? In fact, when I got Srila Prabhupada books, I think I got them in somewhere back in 92, maybe. So, first book I got was From Life Comes From Life. So I was opening through the book and turning through the pages, I found the scientists are rascals. I saw it immediately through the book. The shock, it came as a shock to me. Why this person is so angry with scientists? So I could not digest. Then I was actually planning to go to some other philosophy. So I read some other books. Sometimes I had actually at least 5 different organization books with me. So I used to read different books different times and underline and ask why you are saying like this. But there was no one to answer my questions. So in this way, I would be marking and making notes. So although I read Prabhupada's books directly, many of the things were unpalatable for me. the first time I met devotees somewhere around November, I started attending the classes, October and November 92. When I met the devotees, then the arguments started arising. Lot of questions he asked, lot of arguments back and forth. So it went on and on, and I met my Shiksha Guru, Devamrita Prabhu, sometimes in... Actually, everything happened in 91, which I told you just now. In 92 March, I met Devamrita Prabhu, some 14 months later. So I had lot of Mayavad stuff with me, lot of impersonalism, because I come from South India. So he was very, very submissive. He was very, very intelligent and mature to handle a person who has a disease of impersonalism. Because somebody has got a disease of impersonalism, it's very difficult to cure him. It is something like blood cancer. The person may die in 3 months, or he may survive for 30 years. You don't know. So, he understood that this person has a disease of impersonalism. He is adamant that God is impersonal. And he is not agreeing to change immediately. So he gave my own time, sweet time to change. So he would answer the questions in a very, very tolerant way. So I asked questions, and some answers came. Also, I used to argue, internally I felt a great respect for him. Whenever he would give an answer, I would cross question and defeat his answer. But after I go back, something would tell me that this person is actually practicing the truth. Because he is so humble. And he never gets upset. He never gets angry. So in this way, when we meet a person, then things develop more. And then later on I met my spiritual master. He introduced me to Raghuna Swami. And then in admin lectures, many, many more questions. The person I asked him, sitting in his room, many, many questions. So, in this way, we see that sometimes books alone cannot help us. You read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's books, they will look like Greek and Latin for you. Even if you have passed your doctorate in English, you will have to use a dictionary for finding out the meanings. For most of the words he uses, you can buy the book Brahma Samhita from our bookstore. It is so difficult. Simply keeping books will not help you. In fact, my Shiksha Guru Devamrita told me, he got the books, Prabhupada books, and after getting Prabhupada books, it took him 4 years. Even after reading them, he didn't change. Until he met some devotees who were living the life of a devotee, practicing the life of a devotee. And he saw them, he met the spiritual master, and by such satsanga only he could change. So somebody by reading Prabhupada books may become very inspired and impressed, and then become devotees. But not everyone can become. And also we see that a living devotee can create a very great impression in our life. Of course, when the books are there, even Srinath Chakravarti Pada's written books, we feel very inspired. When we read the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we feel very inspired by reading those books. But then, the eyesight has come to understand these books only after we met the spiritual master. After we meet the Shiksha Guru, after we meet the equal Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas, by their inspiration and association only, we can understand these things. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one place, if you read the purport to Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido, Bhagavatam, Shloka, there he says, Krishna is a person. But you cannot understand Krishna to be a person unless you associate with Krishna's devotees. He says like that. You may wonder, by seeing devotees, how can we come to know that Krishna is a person? He says, Krishna's qualities are manifested in the devotees. Like when you see a devotee very humble, when you see a devotee always smiling, always happy, when you see a devotee who is exhibiting all the transcendental qualities that are already there in Krishna, then one gradually comes to know that is certainly spiritual world. What the Shastra says is not false, because this person's behavior appears as if he comes from a different world. So by seeing devotees only we come to know that there has to be a spiritual world, and that is Krishna there. And if this devotee can have so much qualities, how much more Krishna should be having? So we have to see the life of a devotee. Until then we cannot tangibly acquire anything in our life. So books are there. Prabhupada is Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Shastras are there. But Shastras will look Greek and Latin for you. Until you have a spiritual master living and instructing you and guiding you and correcting you at every time. Shiva is a very good person, sir. What service should be rendered to Guru? Is it necessary to be physically present with the Guru? If one is enough, then why do we need the Guru? You can just hear his text. Very good question. When you talk of services on the spiritual master, the topmost service is to follow his instruction. Srila Prabhupada's Guru instructed him that you are a young English speaking man. Why don't you go to the West and preach this message in English? Prabhupada took that instruction as his life and soul. And in his later years he went to the West and preached despite all difficulties. In the same way, every disciple after initiation will be instructed by the Guru that you preach or you do this particular service. Some disciples are given, you do the drawing service. Some disciples are told to preach. Some disciples are told to distribute books. Every disciple, when he meets his spiritual master, he is given a particular order which he should take it as his life and soul and report to Guru, and this way simply live for the benefit of Guru. Then one can make a lot of advancement. As for his association, anybody has not taken prasadam? How many hands just have count on this? Both Vani and Bapu, both are important. Bapu means the bodily association of Guru. But sitting with the Guru makes a lot of change in a disciple. Because it is said in Bhaktisiddhanta Sindhu that when a devotee is very exalted, there are many ways of spiritual vibration emanating from his body. Even in Harinam Chintamani it is said, there is spiritual vibration emanating from his body. Simply by the contact with the devotee and becoming attracted to such a devotee, one can make tremendous advancement in spiritual life. It is said, Sayeva Sadhisho Krita Mokshadvaram Abhavrita. For example, if you are not very advanced in spiritual life, but you are very attached to a serious devotee in Krishna consciousness, then you will also very soon become very advanced. See the formula. If you are attached to a woman, then you fall down. If you are attached to a sadhu who is very, very Krishna conscious, then you also very quickly become Krishna conscious. So the Vapu association also is considered very, very important to be with the spiritual master, hear from him. Because there are so much spiritual vibrations emanating from him. And by hearing from him directly, it makes a lot of difference. When Srila Prabhupada would go from center to center, people would hanker for his association. Mm-hmm. Similarly, one should take every opportunity possible for meeting the spiritual master and associating with him. But whenever such association is not possible, then the Vani is there. By hearing the Vani attentively, one can make a lot of advancement. Like Prabhupada, how many times he got to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? Very few times. Must have met about 20-30 times. He must have met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, but he took the Vani very, very seriously. Of course, Vapu also made a lot of difference for Prabhupada. And then he got the Vani and he executed the Vani of his spiritual master. So one shouldn't think, simply by hearing the tapes of his spiritual master, I'll advance. There is no need of Guru. But without Guru, how can you get the castles? Guru only has spoken the castle. So the voice of the Guru is non-different from the Guru. The voice of the spiritual master is non-different from you. May say, I am benefiting from his Vani, so I don't need him. But without him, where did the Vani come from? Guru only has spoken. So one has to understand the importance of the spiritual master also. That is why in his absence we keep his picture and we offer respect to the picture, we bow down to him. So don't think bowing down to the picture of the spiritual master is a mundane activity. Actually spiritual activity. It is as good as bowing down to him in person. There is no difference. In the spiritual platform, if you keep the photo of the spiritual master and bow down to him and beg him for his mercy, it is as good as meeting him in person and asking for his mercy. There is no difference in this. A sincere disciple can get such a benefit. It's possible. Prabhupada said, I do not think any point in my life when my spiritual master was not sitting by my side. And Prabhupada said, he always felt that his guru was with him wherever he traveled. When he went abroad, when he came to India, he was telling his Guru every time, I am doing this now, next time I want to do this, please give me your blessings. He is asking. Only a fool, when he does something great, apparently great, he may claim that probably I have done everything. My Guru didn't play any role. He was so far away, and I am here, and I did everything. So where is the role of my Guru? So all of you, please don't glorify my Guru, glorify me. So a fool may say like that. So he may be far away, but when you talk of spiritual things, they are not limited by space and time. Are they limited? So, Guru is giving you his mercy. He is not limited by space and time. He can immediately offer his mercy to you at any place, wherever you are. And because the parampara's mercy is coming through you, you are able to do so many things. You have the ability. When Krishna withdraws his ability, you become paralyzed. You will not have any ability. So one should understand that the Vani of the Guru is as good as the Guru. When you are hearing a cassette, you should not think it is simply a cassette going on. You should feel your Guru is sitting in front of you and instructing you directly. one should hear the cassette in that mode. So one can immediately, as soon as you hear the voice of a person, immediately conceive of the song, is it not? Like you hear a cinema music, isn't it? Immediately you remember the scene which you saw in the movie, don't you? If you have seen the movie and you have heard a song, as soon as you hear the song, what do you remember? The scene immediately comes to your mind. Similarly, the spiritual master, you have seen him, so you hear the cassette from him, you can immediately understand his personality. So immediately, along with that, many other things come. Don't think you are just hearing the voice. Along with the voice, you realize his gravity. What is his gravity? What is his sweetness? What is his compassion? What is his humility? What is his greatness? All the things come along with the cassette. Although you are just hearing a cassette, immediately remember the person. This is the beauty in spiritual life. That's why it is when you say Krishna, immediately remember the beautiful form of Krishna playing the flute with his more mukut, with his beautiful bimba lips, and his Shyam Sundar form, with his Vaijayantimala and Kalsubhas belt, with his Pitambar, standing in threefold bending form. The word Krishna contains everything like that. Similarly, the voice of the spiritual master also contains the spiritual master with all his glory. So that's how one should hear the cassette. So, reading also can be done in different modes, in tamaguna, rajaguna, sattaguna. So then be dozing and reading also. So you can be hearing in different modes. So if one is hearing, I have seen people reading Bhagavatam. How they read Bhagavatam? Gauram told me in Bombay, Gani showed me how he preserves his Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam he has kept and he has put nice patta cloth, you know, what do you call it? Silken cloth for that. Then nicely, you know, covered with a ribbon. So remove the ribbon and remove the silken cloth and he takes Bhagavatam. You can see how he reads Bhagavatam. What is the standard in Bhagavatam? He can speak so much wonderful Bhagavatam. So, because he treats Bhagavatam so reverentially, he bows down to the Bhagavatam, then he takes the book and puts it on his head, and reverentially reads, and he appreciates the vibration of Sukadeva Goswami, speaking to Parikshit, with so much respect he is giving him. So, it immediately enters his heart. So, the way you receive a person, that much he will be able to have influence on you. If you don't receive properly, so not only the purity of the speaker matters, the receptivity of the disciple also matters a lot. The purity of the speaker and the receptivity of the hearer, both matter in creating a transformation in the heart of a disciple. So, Jesus gave a beautiful example. If you throw a seed in the cement, will it go? It won't. But if you put a seed in a fertile land, it immediately sprouts and grows. Similarly, the Guru is speaking pure knowledge. If your heart is fertile, immediately can get the benefit. If your heart is not fertile, then you won't get any benefit. Fertile means submissive and seeking the association of the spiritual master. That means you are feeling a need, that I need you, then you can get the benefit. Otherwise, if you are hearing with the mentality that I know everything that you know, why are you boring me? Then it is like it gets reflected. You don't get any benefit from that. So, hearing a cassette, reading book, they all are very wonderful. But one has to understand that Guru has got a very, very great vital role to play in our life. He was asking, Gaurav was asking about Ekalavya. He was very learned and greater than Arjuna. These things are told by the fans of Ekalavya. Fans of Ekalavya tell you that Ekalavya was greater than Arjuna. Isn't it? They may say even Amitabh Bachchan is greater than Arjuna, they will say. So there are Amitabh Bachchan's fans will say like that. So, there are so many followers of Duryodhana. Even now they argue, if only Krishna didn't cheat Duryodhana, Duryodhana would be the winner. I am a follower of Duryodhana. People say like that. Today you can see many people. There are people who worship Ravana in South India. They say they like Ravana very much. They don't like Lord Ram. They like Ravana much more. So, Ravana is worshipped, if you see. So, there are followers of Duryodhana, followers of Ravana. The same way there will be followers of Ekalavya. Actually, Ekalavya wanted the support of his special, so-called spiritual master, Dronacharya. Why he wanted Dronacharya? Simply to increase his name and fame. Ekalavya came to know that Dronacharya is very famous and Dronacharya's disciple Arjuna is very famous. How did Arjuna become famous? Why can't I become famous like Arjuna? This was his envy in the beginning. So he thought Arjuna became famous by accepting the discipleship under Dronacharya. So if I also go to the world and tell the people I am a disciple of Dronacharya, everyone will glorify me, isn't it? So this was his idea, even for taking the discipleship. Everyone wants, like you want to join MIT. Not order, Pune MIT. American MIT. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Why do you want to join? Because you want to say that I have got a degree from MIT. Or I am from Harvard. I am from Cornell. So immediately people will look up and down. So it's not an ordinary person. Isn't it? So as if you come from another planet. So you want to get that payment then, foreign return. In the same way he thought, I can tell people I am a disciple of Dronacharya. And have known and respect me. He actually belonged to an Ishada community who were against the ruling class at that time. Actually at that time the Kurus were the ruling class. They were ruling the entire world. But Ekalavya belonged to a tribe called Ishada who never wanted to cooperate with the government. There was something like we are seeing so many people, groups of people in India who are against the government. They are always working against the government. So they were belonging to that tribe. But he wanted to learn this archery and go against the government on one hand, and on the other hand gain the glory of being a disciple of Dronacharya. This was a stunning plan. With this plan he approached Dronacharya. And Dronacharya being elevated sage, he could immediately detect. First of all, he doesn't have the Kshatriya quality at all. He has the quality of a Shudra. If I teach him some good knowledge, it's like giving a garland to a monkey. What will the monkey do with the garland? He will tear it up into pieces. He doesn't know how to use it. So Dronacharya thought he is not worthy enough to receive this knowledge. So he told him, no, you are not qualified to learn this knowledge, you go away. People who are envious of Krishna and his devotees, they give wrong interpretations. They say, because Dronacharya wanted Arjuna to be the supreme, most archer, he didn't teach Ekalavya. This is the concoction. But that was not the reason. Dronacharya saw that Ekalavya is unqualified. So he sent him back. So what did this fellow do? He made a deity of Dronacharya and started gaining benefit from the deity and started learning the archery. So one day when the Pandavas were going, they found that a dog, his mouth was closed with 7 arrows. And immediately they went and reported to Dronacharya. Dronacharya could immediately detect, this must be the work of a Shudra, he said. As soon as he saw this, the Kshatriya will never do this. And then find out who did that. And immediately he said, this must be the work of Ekalavya, he said. And it was the work of Ekalavya. Then he was brought in a friend. Then Dronacharya thought, if this Ekalavya knows his archery, tomorrow he may create a great damage to society. See, the strength of the Kshatriyas was meant for protecting the women, not for raping them. The strength of the Kshatriyas was meant for protecting the children, not for abusing them. Similarly, the strength of Kshatriyas was meant for protecting the old people, and not for exploiting them. It was meant for protecting the cows, not for eating their meat. So in this way, the strength of Kshatriyas is meant for protecting these 5 things. Women, cows, children, old people, and brahmanas. They have to give protection to these 5 people. But Shudras cannot give protection. Why? Because they do illicit sex. So when, as soon as they see a woman, they will not want to give them protection. They will want to enjoy illicit sex. As soon as they see a cow, they will want to cut it and eat the flesh of the cow. So the Shudra class cannot give proper protection. In fact, they themselves need the protection of Kshatriyas. So keeping this in mind, Dronacharya thought that he is not spirit, he shouldn't learn. But now he learned, and he immediately misused his knowledge. So Dronacharya contemplated that in future if this fellow goes on like this, he will cause a great havoc to society. I should immediately protect the Hastinapura society from this fool. It is like, now we are having the Star Wars in the hands of scientists. The scientists are not self-controlled sages who will be very controlled and not touch the buttons. They all are biting like cats and dogs, showing their teeth to other countries. They are saying, if you use nuclear weapon, we will also use. Let us see who uses first. Both of them. Finish, both the countries are finished. So that is the kind of people we have. It's exactly like, as I told you, garland in the hand of a monkey. Isn't it? So the knowledge can be misused. So keeping this in mind, Dronacharya wanted to protect the country. Then what did he tell him? You give up your thumb. The society was protected. And people who don't have a proper understanding of this particular story, they are glorifying one part of the story. Oh, he gave his thumb, such a great... You know, so some people have even started Ecology Institute. Ecological Institute of Technology, this is sad. such a wonderful desire for and such a guru. They don't know the actual background of the story. Huh? What is the background of the story? What all you learned from the story? Any of you can say, technically, how nicely you understood the story. What all you learned from the story? One point, some beauty standing, yes?
You are not really pleased with
the Guru, the knowledge that you have acquired from him. Yes.
That is one point, yes?
You should be genuine. Yes? Then? You should follow the instructions of the Guru. Yes, you should follow the instructions of Guru. For example, I am preaching. Now the Guru tells you, Radhisham, you wash the burdens. That is your duty. I can't go and tell the Guru, what is this Guru? You don't understand my talents. I am such a wonderful preacher. Why are you asking me to wash talents? You come and see my preaching. Can I tell him like that? He knows that I can preach, but if he wants to help me get rid of my pride, he can ask me to wash the buttons. Because he knows by washing the buttons I can become purified. So he orders me to wash the vessels, I should wash the vessels. In the same way, when he approached Brahmacharya, Brahmacharya told him, you are not fit for this. So don't ask that. Krishna himself says, what he says? Sadhar, what is it, Sadhar? In Bhagavad Gita, what is the Sadharma? Shriyan Sadharma Vigunaha Paradharmatma Anashtita. Sadharma, what is it? Sadharma Nigram Shreya Paradharma Bhayavaha. Is it Shriyan Sadharma Vigunaha? He says it is better for one to execute his own duty. He is a Nishara, so he is letting do the Nishara duty. Rather than executing somebody else's duty perfectly, so he can execute his own duty imperfectly, he says. So he belongs to Shudra class, so let him do the duty of Shudra imperfectly. Rather than to do the Kshatriya's work perfectly. He may think I am perfect, but actually he is not perfect. He can create a great havoc in society. So, he understood in which class he is falling. Of course, you are not talking Brahmana and Shudra according to the birth. You are talking according to the Guna and Karma. So, this is the import. So, Gaurav, where is Gaurav? Gaurav, you understood it? So, this point has been made clear. Why is Guru heavy with knowledge? Is he very stout? Why is Guru called heavy with knowledge? See, the knowledge Guru possesses is considered heavy because Guru is capable of solving the real problems of life. And he has the knowledge for that. What is the real problem? There are so many problems in this world. But one problem may not be a problem for the other person. For example, you are going in a train. Your neighbor is smoking cigarette. Fully spreading the entire train. And you are not able to tolerate that. You are closing the nose, closing the mouth, you know, covering your thing, you are walking and coming back again. You are unable to tolerate it. But this fellow is ecstatic. He is smoking and smiling. Very happy. Like an engine, smoke is going in and coming out, going and coming out. He is very happy. So you may have a problem, but he doesn't have this problem. Is it not? Or if you take a very rich person and even in the entire world, you go and ask him, what do you want to do? He says, oh, I want to get rid of everything. I want to go to a mountain area. I want to build a small cottage there. And I want to put some grains. And I want to live peacefully. I hate this city. I don't like to live in Bombay. They say like that people. And you go to a mountainous area where people, tribals are living. You ask them, what do you want to do? Oh, you want to go to Bombay. So one man's food is another man's poison. That means these problems are not common. Real problems means they have three symptoms. There are three lakshana of real problem of life. One is they are common to all. They are common to every living being. Second is nobody wants them. But third is nobody can avoid it. This is the meaning of real problem. So let us take a simple example. Nobody wants this problem, but still they will get it. I was telling this afternoon, like one man, he started getting some kushrog in the finger. He never wanted it. He wanted to get rid of it. Told the doctor, please put some ointment and get it cured. Doctor said, my dear friend, it's not possible. You have to cut this finger. No, I cannot give up one finger. Impossible. Please do something. Then slowly he spread it to the hand. Eventually the doctor said, you have now removed the hand. Oh, the hand, impossible. Let me go to America. I'll get cured. Without removing one finger, I'll come back, safe with the hands. He went to America, Australia, Canada, all the countries, but none of them could cure him. Then he said, okay, let me come back to India and take up some homeopathy medicine. Maybe that may work. He started trying, but by that time he started praying to the hand. And when the doctor said, you have to remove the hand now. And he said, no, no, doctor, I don't want to remove the hand. Please do something. He said, if you don't remove the hand, then you have to remove your body. You'll be finished. You'll have to die. The cancer will spread all over the body. So nobody wants this disease, but nobody can avoid it. So the birth, old age, disease and death, these are the real problems of life. It is common to all, whether it's a cat or a dog or a human being, anybody, it is common to every living being. At the same time, nobody wants it. Is there anybody here who wants death? Anybody wants to grow old? How many of you want to grow old now? Everyone wants to be a blooming youth. How many of you want diseases? As this boy didn't want diseases, he never won. So these are the real problems. Nobody can avoid them. So Guru is one who is an expert in giving you the solution. How to get out of these four problems? By understanding the essence of the Shastras. So he is heavy with knowledge. Shardhe Parayata Nishnatam. When you talk of heavy with knowledge, do not expect the Guru to quote a lot of Sanskrit verses. He may not be expert in Sanskrit, that he will quote left and right and baffle you. That's what not is expected of a Guru. Nor is he expected to give very expert discourses using intellectual words which cannot be understood by anyone. Like one great speaker, I will not tell you, of one mission in India. He used to give lectures. All the world would attend the lecture. Like about 5,000 people would attend his lecture. This fellow used to have long beard. So he would speak such an English, fantastic English. As the lecture is over, people would clap hands. For 3 minutes or 4 minutes, they cannot stop clapping hands. And when they are coming out, all people would say, wah, wah, what a lecture, what a lecture. Go and ask them, what did you understand? He spoke so wonderfully that we can't understand anything. The Guru is not expected to do like that. Just speak complicated things which no one can understand. Prabhupada's English was so simple. Prabhupada's language was straightforward, simple examples. So when we talk of Guru, heavy with knowledge, he knows the essence of the Shastra. What is the essence? One is servant of the servant of the servant. That my essence one should know. I was telling a story from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. In one village, there were some so-called Brahmana Pandits. These Pandits have been living traditionally in this village for many years. But over a period of time, what happened? The Brahmanas started becoming degraded. They started playing chess, cards, they started taking tobacco, all these things. Gradually they became very degraded Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas. But how will they earn their livelihood? In fact, they had a plan. They would go to the houses of householders and tell them, we all are coming in the generation of great Brahmanas. And in our blood, the family heritage of the Brahmanas is running. So if you serve us, you will also make great advancement. You will get all wealth, children, prosperity, everything you will get. So because you are the Brahmana Pandits, you have to serve us. So they would go to the houses of householders and they would do the worship of the Vigraha there, and they would get some money. In this way they were pulling on. Their days like that. So people will be afraid. They will think, see, these Brahmanas are coming in a very great lineage, so we have to give them some money. So in this way it was going on. So all these people had one panchayat leader, his name was Dada Thakur. So Dada Thakur was also one such Brahmana Pandit who was cheating the people. So he was the leader of all the bogus Brahmanas there in that village. But there was one champion of truth who wanted to expose all these people. He wanted to show the world that these people are cheaters. They are actually not Brahmanas at all. Brahmana is actually by quality. So he wanted to get a great Vaishnava to the village. So he brought a great Vaishnava. Vaishnava is a great devotee of the Lord. So he brought this devotee. And immediately all these Brahmanas assembled and there was a whispering meeting. They said, oh, Dada Thakur, please save us. This person, real person has come. Now we will be in trouble. What are we going to do? Dada Thakur said, why you all are worrying so much? I will do the meat, but you don't worry. I will make some plan. Then, as soon as the Vaishnava, real Vaishnava came to the city, they had arranged for a debate competition. So Dada Thakur was sitting on one side, and the Vaishnava was sitting on the other side. So this Vaishnava saw that Dada Thakur was sitting on a very elevated seat, like the big seat he was sitting, and he gave a very small seat to the guest. Is it a proper etiquette? He didn't properly respect Vaishnava who had come to the village. So seeing this, Vaishnava asked one question to him. Kastma, Yasin. In Sanskrit, Kastma means, who are you? What is your identity? That's the name of Kastma. So immediately Dada Thakur started responding. He said, Kastma, Kastma, Gastma, 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 Chastma, Chastma, Jastma, Jastma, Astma, Kastma, Kastma, Jastma, Jastma. Like that he went on telling all the Kathakatapa lines. After that, what is it? What is the last word? Ksha, I think, is it? That he ended. And then this Vaishnava was saying, what, this world is just blushing. What is he doing? Then all the Pandits, they started clapping hands. Here was all the number speaking such a Sanskrit. Such a great personality, is he? And this fellow doesn't know anything. He spoke one word and the Dada Dada spoke so many words. So, in this way, ultimately this Vaishnava saw this and he went to a little long distance. From there offered obeisances and went away. So they were telling, see, this Vaishnava became afraid and he ran away, they were saying. So you can imagine who is a fool. So this is not expected of a guru, simply scholarly attitude or simply making a show off. That is not what is expected of a guru. Guru should know the essence of the Shastras. The essence is, if somebody asks you Kastma, what should you say? Gopi Bhaktar Parakamalaya, Dasa Dasana Das. You should say, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of gopis. This is the answer for this question, Kastma. So when he asked the question, Kastma, he expected whether he knows this answer. You should say, I am simply servant of the servant. This is my identity. You have no other identity. So he blubbed. And then the Vaishnava thought, it's no use speaking with him. I cannot associate with this person. So he went away. So Guru should know this essence, that we are all servants of Krishna. And he should practically realize it. Shabdi Parit Nishnatam Dhammani Upasamashrayam. So this is the way Guru is heavy with knowledge. Actually, heavy with knowledge of Shastra is, he knows the essence of the Shastra and he is practicing it himself. In his own life, he is practicing it. And by his practice, hundreds and thousands of people become influenced. And they also fall into similar consciousness. They also want to acquire a similar consciousness like him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so much absorbed in love of Krishna that many times he would crying for Krishna. He would tears of joy and jubilation. Sometimes tears of separation will come. And he call out Krishna and jump and run here and there. And all the devotees would cry. Because he had so much power of Krishna Bhakti, he started with waves of ecstasy would emanate from his body. Influence. Similarly, Guru means a person who is having sincerity in the core of his whole existence. The sincerity is emanating from him. And because of his sincerity, all other people become influenced by him. And they also want to become a devotee. That is why they said in Prabhupada's times, when Prabhupada would meet even a ruffian would start thinking, I am a devotee. So he would also raise hands and dance and chant. So even the ruffians and rascals and rogues and the hippies, they felt they are devotees in Prabhupada's presence. Although the world called them hippies, people tell them, who are these abominable stinking hippies? Their bodies are nasty smelling. Who are these people? You may think like that. But they never thought we are such people. They also thought we are in the spiritual world. Even before they shaved their heads, they thought we are shaven. They thought we are in Prabhupada's association. And Prabhupada is a Krishna pure devotee, we are also devotees. They felt they are in the spiritual world. So this is the heaviness of the Guru. He is heavy with knowledge. He can be thin also. He can be short also. Prabhupada was so skinny and short in front of his disciples. His disciples were so tall and hefty. Many of his disciples. But Prabhupada had the Krishna Shakti. That which attracted all his devotees. So the heaviness comes from what? The Guru knows the essence of the scriptures. That essence is what is required. Essence of scriptures is one should realize the fact. I am simply a servant of the servant of servant of the devotees of Krishna. So there is beautiful verse written by Kulashekara, Alva. He is saying, Marjanmana Palamidam Madhutai Chabari Patratanya Madanantah Eshadeva Smaralokanata. In this verse he is telling 7 times. Madjanmanapalamidam madhukaitabari. Oh my Lord, who is the killer of Madhu and Kaitabar? Please accept me as the servant of 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 your servants. 7 times he is telling. So once he is very lowly servant of Krishna's devotees. This is the consciousness. When a guru achieves this stage, this is the meaning of actual heaviness. And the heavy also has, the essential meaning of heavy is this, that a guru is having a solid foundation of the scriptures. He is not tempted by money. He cannot show money and tell the guru, give me diksha, I will give you 10 lakh rupees donation. He cannot tempt the guru by that. The guru is not tempted by anything in this world. Anything material cannot tempt him. But a sincere surrender to the order of the spiritual master can please the guru. So this is the meaning of heavy. Without four sampradayas can't we have knowledge? See, when you talk of Veda or knowledge, it is a very, very vast ocean of knowledge. It is available everywhere. But there are many other people outside these four sampradayas who are also giving knowledge, which may be partially true. Which may be partially true and partially wrong. So do you want to take partial knowledge? Like, for example, there are authorized institutions, isn't it, colleges, where if you go and join, you can be sure. Even if you are a crude man, you go and join this college, after 4 years, you will come out as a full-fledged successful engineer. This college can mold you into a successful engineer because they have such workshop, they have practical, they have labs, and they have very intelligent teachers who can teach. By which ultimately one comes out as a successful engineer out of this college. Whereas there are some colleges where you may also get admission. But ultimately one doesn't come out very successful, isn't it? In fact, you have to teach the teachers. Teachers don't know anything. In this way, there are many gurus in India who themselves, they don't come in parampara, that's the first important thing. They don't come in sampradaya. They may be telling some good things. They will say, you should know, you should every day worship God in the morning. You can worship any God, they will say, which is wrong. And they will say, you should serve your father and mother. They will tell you, you should be very truthful, you should be honest. And they may preach some good things. At the same time, they will say, if you want to eat meat, please reduce. Every once in a week, you can eat meat. They will say. So they compromise on the religious principles and give you something like a religion. It is not perfect religion. And they do not tell you the conclusion of religion. So you may practice and you will be sluggish like a snail in the path of progress in spiritual life. And then one day you may die. And you have to take millions of such bodies. Do you want to take like that? But if you come to the sampradayas, these are authorized institutes. Right from time memorial, the Lord gave this knowledge to four people and He authorized the sampradayas. He has given the certificate. It is given in Padma Purana, another verse about these four sampradayas. God Himself says, sampradaya vihinaye mantraspam nishvala matra is this. Without sampradaya, if you accept mantra, it is no use is this. It will not have any effect. So, if one follows the sampradaya, one is given perfect knowledge. So not only you are given knowledge, you are given the practicals, and you can practice like in our movement. You are given knowledge on one hand, on the other hand you have chanting, and you follow four regulative principles strictly. You don't compromise. It's not that you want thousands of people, so we tell them you can booze, you can smoke, you can do whatever you want. You want millions of followers. You want quantity and quality. But if you are asked to choose any one of the two, what will you choose? Quality. For the sake of quality, you are ready to even compromise on quantity. We don't want hundreds and thousands of people. We want strict ideal followers. So Krishna consciousness is like distinction. How many people get distinction in a class? A handful. So your handful may become pure devotees, but then it is available for everyone to practice. So in this very life we all can practice, and if you don't become successful, we always have future lives where we can continue where we left off. And if you are sincere enough, then in this very life we can go back from back to Godhead. And the last question about Shankara, is he Mayavad? Why did he give Mayavad although he is Shiva? Actually Shiva receives pure knowledge of Vaishnavism from Krishna. And in fact he has been giving it down in Parampara, in Rudra Sampradaya. Even today Rudra Sampradaya you will find, in Gujarat you have this Vallabhacharya, Pushtimaj, that I mean the same Sampradaya, they all are giving pure Vaishnavism. But the same Shiva came in Kali Yuga in the form of a Brahmana. So it is said in the Puranas, Mayavadam Asatshastram Prachannam Bhautam Uchite Mayi Kalpitam Devi Kalo Brahmana Murtina. It is said that Shiva says that he will be coming in the age of Kali Yuga as a Brahmana Kala Murtina. Kalo Brahmana Murtina. He will be coming in the form of a Brahmana. Who is the Brahman? Shankaracharya. And what will he give? He will give Mayavadam, which is actually Asat Shastra, permitting of Asat Shastra. Asat means bogus. It is not sat, it is asat. He will give this impersonalism, which is actually a bogus philosophy. It has no basis of existence. So he himself says that he will come and give this knowledge. Why? For specific reasons. There are various reasons. Vishnu himself instructed Shiva to appear in Kali Yuga and give this knowledge so that the Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas can be clearly categorized. Who is the Vaishnava? Vaishnava is the devotee of Krishna. So in the earlier times there were devotees, and along with the devotees there were also impersonalists in the guise of devotees. They were actually not devotees, their motivation was not pure. They were mixing with devotees, but their motivation was to merge into God, or their motivation was to enjoy some material benefits. So the Lord wanted to clearly categorize the pure devotees and others. So he sent Shankara. Shankara came and told, you can merge into God, and those who are desirous of merging, they all went that side. So immediately you could categorize two classes, impersonalist and personalist. Immediately you could categorize. And also, this Mayavad philosophy, they said, it will increase the population in Kali Yuga. Shastra says, how it will increase the population? Because when you talk of Mayavad philosophy, you say that God is impersonal. He has no hands, no legs, no eyes, he has no form. That means you think, oh, God is like a dead stone who is far, far away and who cannot do anything to me. That means I can do whatever I want. So I am God myself. One can think like that. When one thinks like that, then one becomes very sinful. He is not at all controlled by God. So such a person starts increasing the population. That's all he can do. It's the best thing he can do. So Mayavad philosophy was given for various reasons like that in this particular day and age. And Kali Yuga, many sinful people are born and they will not accept the topmost philosophy of Krishna consciousness directly. Because the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, when Shankara was giving, if he does the pure philosophy of Krishna and Radharani and the gopis, then people were so dumbfounded, they were so dull after having heard the philosophy of Buddha. Because Buddha was teaching only ahimsa, nothing beyond that. He told them, reject the Vedas, reject everything. Ahimsa parodharma, paramodharma he was telling. So now Shankara's duty was to re-establish the Vedas and then give them some understanding of God, which is the easiest understanding of God which everyone accepts everywhere in the world, do you know? God is Sampava. Isn't it? God is Sampava, God is light. We don't know neon light or tube light, what light? God is light, God is power. So people have many conceptions. So Shankara gave a similar conception. He said, okay, God is light, accept it. At least now, start accepting the scriptures and accept that God is light. Accept the lowest understanding of the absolute truth, which is Brahman. Because above Brahman there is Paramatma, and then above Paramatma there is Bhagavan. So Shankara gave this philosophy of impersonalism, which is Brahman. And after that, Ramanuja Sarya came. He established the philosophy of Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita. Madhava Sarya came, he gave this Dvaita. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave a complete understanding of the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Advaita Tattva, which connects both Dvaita and Advaita philosophies. Is Jiva and God same? Yes, they are same in one sense. How? In quality. You are same as God in quality. A minor Jiva is same as God in quality. But is he same in quantity? No. We are parts and parts, infinitesimal, and God is infinite. So in this way, gradually, for the coming of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all this little world, so finally Mahaprabhu can come and give the knowledge. So these are all very difficult things to understand. As we go on in the philosophy, we can get to understand them better. If you read the book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you will understand these things better. It's given in great detail, more detail than what I said now. I just gave a very brief explanation. So, one has to understand about Guru properly. It's very, very essential. And surrender to the Guru is very, very important also. Because without surrendering to a spiritual master, you cannot cross this material world. Where there are these four terrific sufferings. Guru is actually delivering us from the greatest fire of material existence. That's why we chose the topic of Guru today. Any other questions?
There are three things, two personalities, right? You yourself, you are all Jiva, second is Krishna, third is Guru. So, you may struggle on your own, with your policy of Okshan. And then you found that, no, it's not within your reach. And then, okay, I surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna has, but then Krishna ultimately says that you should come through, you should take session through Guru. But then Guru, Guru Maharaj is there, Guru Maharaj is discussed, like, following the person like that. And how to develop that faith and become more submissive, that cultivate that faith and become more like
that. To the spiritual master. So the faith is something that is developed over a period of time. See, how do you first of all come to a Guru? Initially you have some faith in him. Is it not? That is called adoshraddha. Adoshraddha is actually a small amount of faith in a person. You have that faith. If you don't have that faith, you would have never come to him. So you have that faith and then he says sadhu sangha. It's the next stage. So when can you get his sangha actually? Only when that shraddha develops a little bit more. Then you can get his sangha. And then one can stand at him and take bhajana kriya, diksha from him. Then one does the bhajana kriya after that. So the shraddha is developed by hearing from him more and more. The more we hear from him, the more we associate with him, then we start understanding his glory more and more. And then the more we know his glory, the more we can develop our shraddha and take his sangha, and by that we will come to bhajana kriya and anatana vritti gradually. But Guru is a person who has already crossed these stages. So by coming in close vicinity, we can understand more truth about Krishna and about other things. Then gradually we can become free from anattas.
Develop that conviction that there is something different, apart from our own sense and Krishna.
Guru is certainly special. How to know that he is very special? Shastra say that in our mundane sense, we will not be able to understand that Guru is special. We will also think, you know, he is also eating like me, he is also sleeping like me, he is also walking, going and coming. So how is he not an ordinary person? So that is why it is said, Arche Vishnu Shiladi Guru Shinaramate Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. You may think Guru with a Guru Shinaramate. Naramate means you may think he is an ordinary man. But externally he looks like an ordinary man. But what is the difference between us and him? The difference is, he is internally purified. His subtle body is completely purified. And he is constantly seeing Krishna. And he has already burned all his karmas. He is situated in pure goodness. So by associating with him and hearing from him and becoming more saintly, only we will be able to understand that he is there. As I say in English, to a degree to which you are saintly, you can see that much saintliness in others. Only when it's possible. See, when I talk of saintliness, I am not talking of sentimental saintliness. In India, people know they do like this. This is saintliness. Are they really respecting? They are not respecting at all. They may do like this, no, Guru has come, they will bow down and down. This respect is simply out of blind faith. We are not talking of that kind of faith. Because, you know, this Guru is such a great Guru, touch his faith, you will get 5 lakh in lottery. So, all of the problems will be solved. So, people come like that. We are not talking of such a faith. This faith will appear to be very big and it will immediately go away. You know, the moment they get some great damage in the family, some problem comes, immediately they lose all the faith. But the faith that we are talking has a solid foundation and proper understanding. So that faith will come only when we become more and more saintly by his association. So for example, if you are not having enough faith in the Guru, there is no problem. You keep on associating. One need not take initiation at all, but can keep on associating. The spiritual master. Certainly he is greater than you and me, right? He certainly at elevated. If you think that the Guru is below us, then you are really at partners. Then you may think that I have to give my association to him. Then it is a problem. But if you at least know that he is certainly above me, then there is nothing wrong in taking his association. What is it of Guru? Even the senior devotees. For example, a senior devotee is giving association. You cannot take it if you have a big inhibition in the heart and the ears. As soon as you have an underestimation about him, you think this person doesn't know much. And then immediately there is a blockade in your ears. Immediately as if somebody has put clay in your ears, you cannot hear anything. Nothing will enter. So one has to take association, what should one do? One should somehow develop reverence and respect for the person. There's no other way. Thank you very much, Harish.
Shri